you have to find balance in the things that are good for you being a desire.
In this podcast, I talk to Dane Johnson, CEO of Crohn's Colitis Lifestyle, about the mental and physical sacrifices you need to make in order to make your dreams a reality. Dad Mind Matters, helping men to safely navigate family life without losing their minds. Lived experience podcasts about mental health, parenting and marriage on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
I was talking to my wife this morning and she started training with a personal trainer, which she finds, surprisingly enough, much more effective. And she was saying, oh, it's a bit of an indulgence. I said, no, it isn't. I said, I think we've got to stop looking at anything that is health-based as a luxury. It really isn't. If you went out and bought a pair of shoes for £1,000, that's a luxury. That's an indulgence. Wanting to be your physical and mental best, that's a necessity. Everything in your life will be better because you've invested that time and energy and money into that.
Yeah. And that's what money's for. And that's where I've gotten to a point is I had to release the power money had over me and said, money is to make me my most powerful self first and foremost, because it's the more free I am, the more powerful I am, the more money I can make. Money is the most abundant resource on the planet, bar none. There is not a more abundant resource than money. And you have to learn about that and you have to meditate on it. You have to release the trauma and a lot of times the negative relationship you have with money because it's holding it back from you. What you think you're worth, what you think you can earn, and your ability to be creative on how to add value to the market. You got to stop thinking about how someone's going to judge you to charge and start thinking about what the market needs.
Yeah. And I think especially with something that you do is because you have lived experience, there's no cynicism. I think people would say, actually, this is going to be the best I can get because the guy gets it. It's a little bit like when I talk to people who I used to work for a charity that supported men's mental health. The men I spoke to go, I know that you understand how dark this is for me. I'm like, I do, because I'm a lot of the times I'm there as well, mate. And sometimes at best, I'm one or two steps ahead.
Yeah. And that relatability is it because we're community creatures. We need to feel understood and connected with each other. The worst thing you can do to an axe murderer in jail is what? Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Just take their community away. You can take their freedom away. That's not
We're mammals. We're designed to be in herds, not on our own.
We need to be together and we need to be understood. But listen to the power of how the universe works. This conversation, the best we can do is be a catalyst for shifting what you think is possible, a catalyst for you to get excitement to take that leap, to take that jump. And then even if you do, you're going to need to continue to come on a different podcast, read those books, have a life coach, get involved with the community to keep balancing the energy, or else you're going to get overwhelmed and quit. So it's a consistency. It's a conditioning.
I think what you just said is bang on the money. A lot of it is community. I think certainly if you're trying to do anything, whether you're trying to improve your lifestyle, your physical health, it's really important who you surround yourself by. I've heard that statement. I think we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. And quite often when you try and change something, quite often it's the people closest to you that give you the hardest time. If you suddenly decide, I'm going to get in better shape, or I'm going to stop drinking, or I'm going to drink less, or I'm going to write a book. Quite often it's your partner who's like, oh, no, don't do that. And that's why I talk about a lot. Just keep either surround yourself with people who know are going to lift you up, or keep your dreams to yourself until they're so big and they're so powerful that you're not affected by external opinions.
Yeah. And again, as someone who's gone through massive life changing, massive life suffering at a very young age and had to do it at a time in life where most people wouldn't expect a 22, 24-year-old to do this to really own it. Like, it's not really expected. I got to say two things to you right now. I know 18-year-old men and I know 40-year-old boys. You have the power at any age, at any time, whenever you want. You can start right now. The answer in the journey will 100% be uncomfortable. If it was comfortable, you would have already done it.
Yeah.
You would have already done it. Your mind would have already chose it if it was comfortable. So expect it to be uncomfortable. Expect there to have moments where you want to quit. Expect there to be moments where you don't feel as connected. And if you're in a relationship and you make massive changes, that will put a stress on your relationship, because if that other person doesn't change with you, guys will start to separate. And
yeah.
That will hurt you.
Yeah, because quite
some
often
of you are not,
you
know, they go, well,
this isn't the person I'm married. When the person I married, we used to go out and get drunk and it was great. And now suddenly they're swapping getting drunk for a kettlebell class.
And we won't do it unless our significant other is doing it, because we don't want to leave our other person. We don't want to hurt that family. We don't want to disrupt our community, because remember, we're community creatures. That's also holding us back, is what is the usually those top five, when we've been a certain way, for everyone out there who's been here for 10 years or 12 years or 15 years, you're surrounded by a community that lives at that same frequency.
Yeah.
That's, you're, you have to extract yourself with that. You will be
lonely. And
that's
very difficult. That's very difficult.
Yeah. See,
why people don't leave jobs they've been in for 30 years?
Very difficult. So don't try to, some of us, if you want a David Goggins, it tear the Band-Aid off. It's not how I do things. I was forced into this in a way, but I wouldn't have changed if I really had felt I had a choice, but I was pushed into it. Now was the best thing, one of the best things that ever happened to me. But if you want to start changing reality, start small, be consistent. And for me, I didn't have a community. I want to talk real quick to the young men and women who are alone, because I think that's one of the problems, is especially with COVID and everything that's gone, we've come to the airways because we don't have anyone to talk with. A lot of our members, especially when I was looking around, they wouldn't have deep conversations like this. I couldn't have conversations like this with my friends. And my dad, he's a real nice guy, but he couldn't go deep with me on a lot of stuff.
Generational.
He's a dude. Yeah, he's a 1950s. That's it. The way I was able, when I was housebound and I was alone, I didn't have a community or anyone to talk to about this. What I would recommend for you is find your community in books. Every day I read Tony Robbins. Every day I was reading Eckhart Tolle. I was reading Dr. Joe Dispenza. I was reading Dr. Susan Blum. I was reading Jordan Rubin. I was reading every day. And I never liked to read. I hated it in school. But I started to find balance. You have to find balance in the things that are good for you, being a desire. When I woke up, the birds were chirping, and I had a mucosal healing tea, and I'm sitting in my robe outside in the garden that I designed, and it's Santa Monica, California. That's why I paid the taxes, all right? I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to live in the sunshine next to the beach. You can take 40%, whatever you need to do. I need to be here because I knew I needed to heal. And when I would read, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, I was optimistic. I was naturally thinking different. I was thinking like Tony. Tony was like in my cells for like 2 hours until
the war off.
Yeah, I
agree with you. If you generally feel like there's no one around me who's going to support me, I think you're right. Literature is a very good way. You can throw yourself into... Because as you said, you can get so much from reading a book, and you can feel like, I'm actually feel like I've got a relationship with Tony Robbins because I'm reading his book.
It's the biggest missing link, people. You can buy a Tony Robbins book, like Unleash the Giant Within, like from 1989, 1992. Amazing book. Read 10 pages a day. You put Tony in your head 10 pages a day. It's $5. Do you know how much it costs for a one-on-one coaching with Tony? Probably about $100,000. $5. He's put his best energy into this book. It's his book. It's his calling card. It's his legacy.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is, you know, whether it's Tony Robbins or Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar. Is it Zig Ziglar? I think that.
All of them. Yeah. Any of
it
them.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Life coaching.
It has to be someone that you just think, for whatever reason, I quite like him, whether he makes me laugh or I admire him. It has to be someone I feel is slightly like a friend. I really admire what you've done personally on your own work, but also what you're doing for other people. You're an inspiration. But what it shows me is that actually, you're right, we do have a choice. It's not a coincidence, I see, that people who I speak to who have changed their lives, quite often it comes after an enormous mental or physical battle, which is what you've clearly had.
And these are all things from when I was stuck in that house and I was lonely and depressed. These are the things that helped me start to shift. So here's the takeaway. Out of the top five people in your circle, make one of them a book. The top five people you spend time with should be an author in a book, one of them, because you will never get a better energy than when you can pick your friend and you can pick the conversation. And here's what's masterful and divine about it. There's a clinical study generally talking about how many thoughts we have in a day, 50, 60,000 thoughts in a day. In that study, it was said that 80 to 90% of the thoughts are the same thoughts over and over again. So if you have naturally negative or pessimistic thoughts, you're having that 30, 40,000 times. If you are reading that book for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you cannot have your negative thoughts and read a page on a book at the exact same time. What I found and where I built desire, remember, we're going to create it. How do I build desire for things that are good for me? Where the desire kicked in, I didn't have to read, I wanted to read, is it was a breath of fresh air from my anger, resentment, and negativity, because everything I was reading was optimistic, was gratitude, was love, was what was good in life. So if I'd read for 30 minutes, all I was reading in my head, the only thought in my head, as long as I stayed on the page and stayed focused, was bliss, was blissful. And so all of a sudden, I found myself wanting to read for 30 minutes, James, wanting to read for an hour.
And I tell you what.
Wanting to read for 2 hours because I'm stuck in a house with negativity.
Yeah. And that resonates with me massively with someone who has OCD, because a lot of my thoughts will be intrusive, negative thoughts. And I know that I'm sure that a lot of people who listen to me, people who have OCD just because of the algorithm and stuff. And actually, that's a really good point. If you fill your mind with good stuff, there's just, it means there's less space for shit stuff.
Yep. You can't do the same. Think about your problems and read a page at the same time. You can't have those. Now, if I listen to audio, if I'm in the car right now, I might be dozing off thinking about my problems while this is on in the background. That's why I'd say really make sure you're getting a book in where you're reading, because you cannot think about your problems and read at the same time. You have to sit and focus and be present.
Yeah.
So that's a good hack. So some of the big things here, get consistent, stop trying to be perfect. Okay. Change a reality of what is normal. Realize that you have to get uncomfortable to succeed. If you're getting uncomfortable, you're probably in the right direction. Realize what's at stake and what might hurt you. Get aware. If you're aware of what might hurt you, it's going to help with your success because you know it's coming. It's going to be uncomfortable. You might have to separate some energy, some people from your life. You may have to start doing things that's different than the crowd you hang with or the family you hang with. And that can be very difficult. So go slow. All right. And start changing your language. Start changing your reality, focusing on solutions. Here's another one you can do. If you're ready for that next ninja level, every time you tell somebody a problem, I want you to start practicing telling them a possible solution after. Do not put a problem into this world, into existence, without then telling a possible solution. You need to start conditioning yourself to be a solution-oriented person, someone who focuses on results, someone who focuses on solutions, someone who's naturally optimistic. Stop being pessimistic. If you say a problem without a potential solution, that's a natural pessimistic energy. And if you chronically have a pessimistic energy about you, you might start feeling like I'm a pessimistic person or a negative person. So it's, you are not what your feelings are. You are what you chronically choose over and over again. Meaning I can feel angry, but not be an angry person. I can feel pessimistic. I can feel negative, but not be a negative person, because it's your actions consistently done that measure what you are. If you were to judge yourself. So whenever you say, I don't like my life, I don't like this, I don't like that, I want you to then go directly to what's a possible 1, 2, 3 of solutions. And I want you to vocalize it. I want you to affirm it. I want whoever you said it to, even yourself, say it out loud. And that's what I started doing, because I was chronically sick. I'm not going to allow myself to be a victim anymore. I can't stop the blood in the stool. Oh, wait, right there. I just said it. I can't stop the blood in the stool. What's a possible? Okay, I'm going to make a homemade suppository with slippery elm, marshmallow root, maybe some a deglycerized licorice root or aloe vera. I'm going to do a mesalamine enema. I'm going to do mucosal healing tea. I'm going to do a bone broth fast. And I'm going to take some indigo naturalis to help stop the bleeding. Not going to allow myself. What's impossible? My mom calls me up. How are you? I'm good. And she's going to say, are you still bleeding in the stool? Because that's when you have to go to the hospital, right? Are you still bleeding? This is how this is the Jedi way of responding. You know what, Ma? I actually am 30% down from 2 weeks ago and how much blood I'm seeing.
Nice.
You see that?
Yeah.
I'm optimistic. I'm now enrolling my mom to celebrate with me. Hands up in the air. Now we're celebrating. I got positive vibes. I'm putting good signals to my cell. I'm refusing the reality of being a victim. Now, if I'm a victim and I'm being what the world says is okay to be, what's my normal answer? Yeah, still seeing blood. I don't really want to talk about it.
Low energy. And also, I think
Mom's freaking out now. Yeah, she's calling the doctors. Now your mom's day's worse. Your day's worse. Now you've just put this energy into you that just literally says, I'm turning on Netflix, smoking a joint, and I'm checking out.
And I never thought of it like that. You have to be your own cheerleader. You have to be in your own pit team and go, right, this is shit. And it's happening for whatever reason. I can't change that. But what's the solution? And I imagine after a while, you just naturally do it. It's an unconscious thing that you do. You just fix your own problems.
What does it look like on that top of the mountain, so to speak? It's easier, but it's never done for you. It's just like the gym or anything else or marriage. If you've been in a marriage for 10 years, it gets easier to be in a marriage, right? But it's never done for you. The I love yous, the hugs, the date nights, the romance. You have to continue to work at it, but that's life. So realize this is what gives me balance. Remember that word balance is so big. When I work on my mind, what I want to do is come to terms with it and come to peace with what reality supports me. If I'm going to live my best life, I just have to nourish all energies that I want to keep. I have to nourish my children. I have to nourish my wife. I have to nourish myself. I have to nourish my physical exercise. I have to nourish my mind. And so the goal is, can I find joy in the nourishment process? Can I find joy in the process? Can I find joy in the experience? And that's why your wife might want to be using a personal trainer, because she finds joy in having community when she works out. And I bet 80% of her personal trainer is about if they laugh together or not, or they have interesting conversation, whether he can give her a great workout skill set or not.
And actually, as opposed to seeing it as a luxury, seeing it as a necessity. This is an investment in my future self. My future self needs me to do this groundwork.
My future self wants me to do this future groundwork, and I want to be happy with the process, and having a community when I exercise makes me happier. So that's the goal. Yeah. It's not to do a 20% harder David Goggins workout. It's to do the same type of workout, but get happy being able to do it more often, more consistent long term. So how do I get happy with the process? Remember, I don't have a diet. I have a lifestyle that makes me happy and healthy. Yeah. It's balance. Where's balance? If you are not laughing in the process, if you're not enjoying the process, where are you happy with it? So many of us, it's painstakingly agony to try to keep to do something like change my diet. You know why most people don't want to change the way they eat? It's because all the restaurants where we have community and we laugh is all shit food. You know why everyone wants to drink beer? Because that's when we're laughing watching the football game.
Yeah.
That's where we're cheering. Oh, let's fucking go, baby.
The weekend. Yeah.
That's where the actual spiritual connection is. That's where the songs are sung.
Yeah.
You're going to take my songs away? No, I just said no beer. No, you said my songs.
Yeah. Because actually, quite often, if I go out and I drink a non-alcoholic beer, my friends are there, so I have a great night. The alcohol's irrelevant, actually.
It's irrelevant. I used to go to the club with my buddies and go get a water on the rocks with a little black sippy thing with a lemon in it. That was it. Hey, what can I get you? Can I get a water? I go, hey, can I get a water on the rocks just with put a lemon in it and one of those little black things to make it look like an alcoholic beverage? And I just hold it.
Yeah. No one cares. You just got to drink.
No one has no fucking... And everyone else is getting wasted. I'm going, this was $0. I can now listen to you sober. I can talk to you, even if I was when I was dating. I can actually look at you and coherently see if we have any kind of connection. If I actually am interested in you, or I'm gonna do, because I would have done something drunk, stupid in the past. And so I can have coherent conversations. I can see who I actually want to connect with. Why do I want to be at this club? I used to think, oh no, I'm the problem. I'm not fun because I'm not drunk. No, this is idiotic.
You're the one person who's choosing. Why am I doing this? This is really expensive, and I'm gonna pay for this tomorrow. But it's not easy.
And then I'd use that money to get organic food and supplements.
Yeah.
So instead of spending money to poison myself and make everything worse, I spent money on making everything better. Because that's what also separated me, where I always said, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to build my own company. I refuse to live paycheck to paycheck. And it's going to take me 10 years. That's okay. It's one day at a time. And I'm willing to get happy right now. That's another thing. I have so much love and admiration for people who don't need to chase things in life, who are naturally happy. I always get that energy from certain people in the world I love people who are just naturally happy.
You said it a few times, and I think I want to highlight it, that actually it's about loving the process, because if you're waiting for something to happen or to achieve something to be happy, then you're never going to be happy. If you're waiting to be financially free and that takes 10 years, which is probably a realistic target, celebrate the little wins along the way. Because if you're only like, right, I'm not going to celebrate anything but the time I actually am financially free. So, well, that might take 10 years. So why don't you celebrate the fact that there are little wins every day, whether it's you get a nice comment on something you post online, or whether it's we have this conversation, or enjoy the process as much as the actual end point.
The way you do that is, again, realize that, how do I get happiness? How do I get balance? And all that means is, how do I get positive energy? The word happiness or love or balance, they just mean a positive vibration in. The amount of positive vibrations going in and out is not enough in your life. It's too much negative or anxiety, or I'm not enough, or I can't do enough. So just look at it like that. You can just practice going out. When I was chronically sick, I would go to church just because there was such a positive vibration there. When I got down to the bare bones of fighting for my life, it just became obvious. The suffering stripped away all the crap, where it just became obvious. It was clear. I needed to be around laughter and love and peace and gratitude and hope. And it was in God. It was right there at church. It was right there of helping the lady cross the street. It was right there paying $5 to help someone pay for something that was walking by. It was right there just saying something nice to a barber. I would strike up great conversations with strangers. Why I had a cane, I couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
No, you got to just decide to put positive energy out in the world. Just decide to condition it, just like a squat. Just make a decision and then stick with it. And then when you're not feeling good, recognize it and say, I need a dose of positive vibration. Pick up the book, put on Bob Marley, get in the sun, get your toes in the sand, or call somebody.
Yeah,
all you gotta do, it's all free.
And you have to make yourself do it. I never want to have a cold shower first thing in the morning. I really don't want to do it.
James, that's way harder to me than picking up and just calling one of my best buddies. Here's what a best friend is. We have to reset what you have to realize how simple positive energy is. It's too overwhelming for everybody. Your best friend is just someone who makes you feel the best the most often. That's all it means. Whoever your best friend is who makes you feel the best the most often and almost never makes you feel bad. A good friend is someone who does that pretty well, but not as much.
Yeah.
And a kind of shit friend is a person who makes you feel bad when they're supposed to make you feel good.
Yeah.
And are you making, and what kind of friend are you? So the first thing, if you want a better friend, what kind of friend? How much are you helping someone feel better?
Yeah, you're right.
So obvious.
Pay it forward a bit.
Like, get the positive energy. Find a reason to laugh. I'm stuck in a bed. I called my friends. I called my mom. Mom, are you still bleeding? Guess what, Mom? It's 30% less blood. How's it going with the house? I know you just lost your job trying to take care of me. How's it going in the job search? Is there anything I could do for you? How's it going with your life? I know you're just human. I know you're my mother, but you're also just human. It's okay. You're not perfect. Yeah. God, you know how many mothers and fathers want their parents, their kids to say that to them, to realize that they're just humans and they're trying their best?
A parent might wait 40 years to hopefully hear that once. And then we'll never forget it.
Look, we're having a great time right now. We are learning.
It's inspiring. It's lovely talking to you, Dane. And it's an inspiring story. So thank you so much for today.
If you need help and you happen to have Crohn's colitis or IBS, first, I want to come with integrity and trust. Healing is not linear. It is very difficult. And you can get great results very quickly, but it is a long-term community you want to be a part of. So if you want to check us out, click the link in the show notes below, crohnscolitislet.com. We'll get you on a free strategy session. Just fill out the intake form, link below, and then we'll get you on a call with one of our IBD sports specialists and deep dive in your case and see if there's connection.
I really hope you got something from this podcast. And if you're going through or have gone through a mental health issue and you found a way to make your life slightly easier and you want to share that story, please contact me. And I know it's a massive ask because no one's got any spare time. But I'm really trying to get this podcast out there. So if you have 2 minutes to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be hugely appreciated. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're okay. Take care of yourself. My book, First Time Dad, A 42-Week Guide to Pregnancy, is available in Kindle and paperback form on Amazon and an audiobook form on Audible. To sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, www.dadmindmatters.com.